today on Real Radio.
Today we look at one of the strongest economies in the world is Israel today. Corporations are moving to Israel. The Silicon Valley outside of California is Herzliya, Israel. Apple, HP, Raytheon, Boeing, everybody's there. It's remarkable.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, now in a message called Arriving, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the book of Isaiah. Again, thanks for joining us today. In these last few chapters, Isaiah goes on to describe a future time when Jesus Christ returns to establish his kingdom here on earth. But whether we're looking for the past, the present, or things yet to come, we're reminded of God's amazing love and patience that he has towards us and towards the nation of Israel. In part 2 from Isaiah chapter 61, we learn that God sent his son Jesus Christ to restore us. His desire is for us to be whole and healed. He comforts all those who come to him and spiritually holds our hand through the hard times. The Lord does this for us, and he wants us to do the same for others. Christianity works when we choose to get involved in restoring the lives of others. We can do this by showing God's love and by sharing what we know. So today, on day 3 of Isaiah chapter 62, Pastor Jack tells us that Israel will be prosperous until it catches the eye of the Antichrist, who will deceive the nation and nearly destroy it. But when Christ returns, he will restore the land and its people, including the holy city of Jerusalem. And now continuing his lesson called Arriving, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Listen, I've been married almost 40 years, this June, in a couple months. Wow, 40 years. Here's the deal. I've watched it in people's lives, and I know it's true in my own life. Listen, if you determine to love your husband or love your wife, God will give you a heart and eyes for them, and they will be, it's a divine work, they will be absolutely attractive to you. Well, yeah, he's too thin, she's too big, he's too tall now, she's too short now. Doesn't matter, it's irrelevant. Seriously. That's how the stupid world lives. Oh, look. Oh, look. You don't even know what you're looking at. You don't even know what's real, for one thing. Listen, if you're married tonight, you need to say, God, give me a heart for my husband. I think he's turned into one ugly mug. But God, give me a heart for him. Cause me, Lord, to see him attractive again. God will do it. I'm telling you, God will do it. If you have the guts to pray that, God will do it. It's amazing. Ask God, Lord, help me to see attractive things in her. He'll do it. It's his will. God has that for his people. Think about his people. His people have been anything but good to him. He chooses to see them as what they're going to be like. Whew, I'm counting on that for me. Right? In my own life. Romans 11, verse 1. Paul says, Romans 11, verse 1. I say then, has God cast away his people? Certainly not. For I also am an Israelite and of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Look at verse 25, way down to 25. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. He's speaking to the Romans. They're a bunch of Italians. Listen, there's a Jew talking to non-Jews about the Jewish people. Lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. That means God knows how many non-Jews are going to get saved. And when that happens, then he's done. He kind of shuts the door on that ark and he goes to work on the Jewish people again. But blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Verse 26, and so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of where?
Zion.
Zion. So the Messiah is going to come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. That's another name for Israel. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. That's what God says. It's awesome. It's wonderful. Number five, it's in verses 6-10, is God's witness to the truth. I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You shall make mention of the Lord. Do not keep silent, and give him no rest till he establishes, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. In this portion right here, verses 6 and 7, scholars argue as to who exactly is speaking. Is it God speaking through Isaiah? Is it Isaiah speaking? Or is it the Messiah speaking? I love the debate. I think it's beautiful to consider the angles. But look at this, church. It says here, I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. Notice their position. Where is the position of the watchman? On the wall. And then he says that they shall never hold their peace. That means they're alert. See, what are we talking about? Watchmen are God's spiritual leaders, be it over the church or over Israel. It works either way. The context demands God's watchmen on the walls for Israel, for Jerusalem, for Zion. But I think it's an awesome testimony to the fact that God has established and will establish his promises. Verse 8 and 9 goes on. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength. And now he quotes here. Surely, I will no longer give your grain as food for your enemies. In other words, the Jews are not going to be pillaged anymore in the future. And the sons of the foreigners shall not drink your new wine for which you have labored, but those of you who have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord. Those who have brought it together shall drink it in my holy courts. So he's talking about them retaining what they have worked for. That's coming. Verse 10, Go through the gates, prepare the way of the people, build up the highway, take out the stones, lift up a banner for the nations, for the peoples. This is God's work that he's going to establish with the nation in the last days. Israel today, listen, people, I need to do this quickly, but I must do this. Today we look at one of the strongest economies in the world is Israel today. It's not my opinion. The shekel is incredibly strong. Corporations are moving to Israel. The Silicon Valley outside of California is Herzliya, Israel. Apple, HP, Raytheon, Boeing, everybody's there. It's remarkable. It's prosperity. Try to buy a home in Israel. Wealth, genius. Listen, what ethnic group has by far received more Nobel prizes for design, engineer, technology, science? What people group? Jews. Nobody comes close. What is that about? It's a spiritual thing. God is establishing his people. He's regathering them. But know this. You should know this. Israel is going to prosper until, according to the Bible, they catch the eye of the Antichrist. And the Bible tells us that Israel will be safe, Israel will be prospering, and this one that's coming, the Antichrist, is going to really captivate them for his own need, and he's going to use them, and he's going to break them. So right now the nation is ascending, Israel, in all areas of technology and agriculture, you name it. It's ascending. It has a day coming when the fall of it is going to be horrific. Jesus said, in fact, if he didn't come back in the second coming, it would be so bad that no flesh would remain alive. Jesus will rescue them from the grip of the Antichrist that's coming. So this rise that you see happening in Israel today is something that will be short-lived, but it will not be their ultimate end, by no means. And we end with this. Look at verses 11 and 12. Is God's faithfulness to his word. Indeed, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world. What did he proclaim? Say to the daughter of Zion, surely your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. Verse 12, and they shall call them the holy people. This is the nations of the world will call the Jews when Christ returns at the end of the second coming to rescue the remnant. The world will then call the Jews the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. Look, it says, and you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Remarkable. Remarkable. I'm going to end with this video in a moment. I'll show this to you, but I want to give you this this test. Guys, can you get the video ready? And then I'm gonna shout at you to stop it at a certain point. Can you do that? Thumbs up? Yes? Okay. Are all of you ready to listen? Before you hear this, is Israel in existence today? Are they on the map? Is Persia existing today or Iran? Okay. Is Russia existing today? By the way, it's Russia today. It's not the Soviet Union. If you know the book of Ezekiel, it couldn't be the Soviet Union. Ezekiel 38 said it has to be Russia. Thank you, Ronald Reagan. God was using him. This is a little bit more dicey. Is Syria existing today? Maybe. No, seriously, maybe. I remember a guy by the name of Yasser Arafat, who in the early days, in the 60s and early 70s, was famous. He himself was famous for leading squads. You can read about this. I'm not making it up. For leading terrorist squads. And his early days of attacking or disemboweling people. The Yasser Arafat himself disemboweled some pregnant women. And that's a matter of fact history. Arafat, I used to remember Arafat shouting death to Israel. Yasser Arafat. On and on it goes. Tonight we see in the news that the Khomeini is saying that the United States, if they deal with Iran, then they will destroy Israel. I want you to think about that logic for a second. If the United States goes to stop Iran's nuclear missile development, which they're working on and boasting about, did you know this, everybody? Are you hearing me? Wait, are you hearing me for real? I said Iran is building a nuclear missile rocket. Did you hear me? How did they get the money to build it? Who gave them billions of dollars to build it? Who lifted the sanctions for them to build it? United States. You don't like that? Too bad. You picked the wrong team. I'm serious. Don't mess with God and his people. It will never work out good for you. Get ready to start the clip and then stop when I yell. Okay, let's go.
Shalom and good evening. This is TV7 Israel News, broadcasting to you from Jerusalem. And in today's top stories, political chief of the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps, Brigadier General Yadaola Javani, vowed to destroy two of Israel's main cities, Haifa and Tel Aviv, if the United States were to attack the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Okay, stop. Israeli... The general of the Iranian-Persian forces said, if the United States tries to stop the nuclear warhead development for Iran, Persia, I like calling them by their real name, Persia. Iranians don't refer to themselves as Iranians. They refer to themselves as Persians. And I get that. That's awesome. If you mess with us, we are going to destroy Haifa and Tel Aviv. What is that? Is that a weird thing? Okay, look, if Toronto attacks Detroit, we are not going to bomb Salt Lake City. Play the tape.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu responded with a threat of his own. Any Iranian attack would bring the downfall of the Ayatollah regime in Tehran. Iranian President Hassan Rouhani declared the Islamic Republic's resolve to continue its ballistic missile program and policy of its military expansion across the region, regardless of international opposition.
Okay, you can stop, you can stop. The world is telling Persia, don't do this. Don't do this. See, while everyone has the right to develop their weapons, for self-defense, I get that. But when you have said for decades, we're going to destroy America and we're going to destroy Israel, we need a bomb to do it. Can you give us the money to build a bomb? What's the neighborhood supposed to do? Seriously, what's the neighborhood supposed to do with this news? It's absolutely crazy. So you know what's going to happen. Israel's going to do what Israel always does. There'll be some super secret mission that nobody will be able to figure out until it's over. And Israel will take care of it. Now watch. No, I'm just saying. And that could probably start the Third World War. Because other countries get to defend themselves, except one. He said, I don't like what you just said, Pastor. That's very... Okay, then on May 14th, 1948, how many hours had Israel been declared a nation when the Arab League launched a war on them? Physical war. It's hours. Why? Why? Because listen, friends of Islam, listen, you know, in Islam, Israel cannot exist. That's why no Islamic map has Israel labeled on the map. It can't. They can't go that way. Israel cannot exist. And so all of this saber rattling is going on. My point is this. These things are in the news now. Let's destroy Israel. That's Psalm 83. Read it later. Psalm 83 says that Israel's neighbors say, let's destroy them from being a nation. Let's drive them into the sea so that no one will ever remember their name again. Psalm 83. It's 3,000-year-old psalm. What I'm saying to you is my Bible, your Bible, has the names of these nations in it. Persia, Syria. Keep going. Let's play the tape.
...has accused Israel of launching an attack against its territory last night, causing significant damage in the town of Kunitra, which is located near the Israeli-Syrian border, where Iranian-backed forces are reportedly active.
Syria, Damascus, Persia, Russia. These nations are in the last day scenario. What Isaiah 17 talks about and what Ezekiel 38 talks about, all that stuff happens before Isaiah 62. So the word is this. As believers, we should remember something, that God will keep his word to all. To all. To the man or the woman who says, I don't want you in my life, God. Just butt out. I don't want you involved in my life. I keep hearing these faint voices, as it were, in my mind about believing in you, and I shouldn't do this because you're watching, and Jesus, the cross, resurrection, death, eternity. No, I push it out. I don't want anything to do with that. God will answer your prayer. He will answer your prayer someday. You'll have nothing to do with them. The Bible says he weeps over the death of the wicked. He'll let you have your way. Or the man or the woman that says, God, I want you to give me those promises, Jesus. I want to pick up your word. I want to read it, that I can be forgiven, that I don't have to be some person that has to prop up my religion, but you did it all in love for me and that you extend forgiveness to me, that you're not weak at all. You went to the cross and you didn't defend yourself. That's how strong you were, because some people say you were weak, Jesus, because you let yourself get killed. You need to keep reading, because on the third day he rose again from the dead. And he promised to raise you from the dead also if you trust in him. The God that keeps his prophetic promises keeps all his promises. Father, we thank you for your truth and these days in which we live in, as even in the news tonight, these ancient nations are on the screens of our devices. How can we go any longer neglecting the Bible? How can we go any longer not taking you seriously? So, Lord, I pray tonight that we all as a people would trust you completely. God, that we would realize that Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is Christ having come down and reached out to us. Christianity is the message that God has come down upon this enemy-occupied territory of the world that Satan has commandeered, and you've come to set us free from the robber and the thief of our souls. Satan. And that if any man or woman or boy or girl would trust you, Jesus, would say, I believe that you died on the cross as history shows, as the Bible foretold, and as the New Testament accounts, that you fulfilled the prophecies of the prophets, and that you rose again on the third day according to those prophets. I put my trust in you. Dear friend, trust Christ tonight. He loves you and he wants to give you a life of meaning and purpose and of love, grace, and mercy. He's the only one that can deliver. He alone is the Lord. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Church, let's stand as we close tonight.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a message called Arriving. We're so glad you took the time to join us today. And don't forget, for the Christ follower, the end is actually the beginning. Won't you come to Jesus today? Arriving is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. By the way, if you still have any doubts or questions about salvation through Jesus Christ, we'd love to help you with that. As you heard from today's message, the Lord knows the future. He knows all about you. That's the truth. The secrets you've held in your hearts, the trauma you've experienced from the past, even your fears of what lies ahead. That's why it's important to understand what the gospel message means to you personally. Simply go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the tab that says Know God. That's Know spelled K-N-O-W, God. And once you're there, you'll find the information you need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Go there right away. Again, head over to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Look for that tab that's labeled Know God. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Or you can access the Know God tab through the Real Life mobile app. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Also, the address, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.